Happy New Year, Christine!
Yeah, woo!
Hey, 2020's over! Can we just, I mean, we could, right? Like, if the world collectively agreed that let's just end it now and start over and call, like, tomorrow 2021, who would get hurt by that?
Honestly, but would it change anything?
Willing to try anything at this point. But that's not why I said Happy New Year. I was leading into this episode. New Year's Day, directed by Darren Lynn Bousman. From a script, which is by Steve Niles and other people. So do you know who Steve Niles is? I assumed you do.
Yes, I do.
Okay, can you explain who he is? Because I roughly know that he writes comics, but I could be wrong.
He writes comics. No, you're right.
Okay.
I mean, I think for most people, the most notable thing would probably be 30 Days of Night. So there you go. It's that snowy vampire movie. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. I think what's exciting about him being in, I think, I don't know, we might have both had different experiences with this this episode. Mm-hmm. So I don't have big feelings about Steve Niles, but I've never seen his name and gone like, this is gonna suck. So, like,
right.
I mean, that's nice because there are people who
sure.
I see and I do think that. So, but, like, it's based on a short story, I guess? Or
could it have
story?
Been a short story turned into a comic, turned into an episode? Maybe?
Maybe? Yeah. I'm not sure to that level. I mean, but there were a lot of hands in this idea, which I get, but also it seems strange.
It seems unnecessary. Because it's
for sure.
It's pretty straightforward, except with something. And I want to talk in detail about it. I also don't want to I will spoil it when we talk about it. But there is a twist that I think is really rewarding. So I would say, like, it's definitely worth a watch. I didn't love it, but I loved it by the I was okay with it watching it. I had issues. I was like, at times, and then it ended. I was like, oh, I like what you did there. So I do recommend people watch it and then come back to listen. So from this point on, we will spoil. How's that?
Yes. This is one of my favorite pieces of anthology television ever made.
Really?
If I was making a list of the most interesting and impactful pieces of short anthology television, this would be on it.
Huh.
This is like every time I'm watching something and I go like, I hope it does. And then it doesn't.
Like, right.
this time it
that.
Did, and it was so there is a twist. It is. I think it actually has increasing returns. Like
I did after I watched this, I was like, man, I wish I had time to watch it again because I do, and I will. I think at some point, but I'm like, I don't really feel like watching it again right now.
No, I it's
but,
not that good. That's the thing. It's
yeah,
not that it, good.
It's but, not. Like, but the twist is so good that I'm like, oh, anything I didn't like about it, I could go back and probably say, oh, that's because of the twist, and be okay with it.
Yeah, and I think you would find that is true. I have seen this multiple times. I get that it's not great. Do not approach this.
It's not great filmmaking. Whereas,
no.
And especially when you compare it to Eater, which is a really well-made 45 minutes of TV. This is not a well-made 45 minutes of TV, but it's entertaining. It's rewarding, I think, is the most important thing.
Yeah, let's spoil it.
Do it.
Okay, so this is a zombie story. They call it a post-apocalyptic zombie story,
which
on
is bullshit.
IMDb.
It's not. There's a nuclear plant something and people turn into zombies, but that does not make it one day is not post-apocalyptic.
It's exactly. It's so it starts on New Year's Eve, and this episode is titled New Year's Day, and this is kind of what happens on New Year's Day. Your lead character is Helen, played by the lovely and talented Brianna Evigan, who
so, how crazy is it that Brianna Evigan has basically, like, this is what she makes as far as movies goes. She makes horror movies, Hallmark Christmas movies, and step-up movies.
She's the perfect actress.
She's, like, the perfect actress for me. Like what, me and her, like, we should be, like, pals is all I'm saying.
She's very good. You could look at step up two and be like, oh, she's a little stiff or whatever. I don't care. Shut up. She's very good. She's very watchable. She's very likable. She's very charismatic.
She has a really good, I mean, like, she's very attractive, obviously. She has a really distinctive voice. She has a deep 45-year-old smoker's voice, which is weird in Hallmark Christmas movies, although it's very good in Lifetime movies when she plays the villain. Which is another thing she does, because again, like, she's like the me. If I could be a hot actress, I'd be her. Like, that's what I do. But she does, like, I love watching her, even though I will agree, like, she's not Meryl Streep, like, but she's just fun to watch.
She's very fun to watch. So that's a big selling point, because by the time when I saw this, I knew who she was, I'm pretty sure. So, like, I was like, oh, this is great. So she is the lead character, and she really is the character that you are with through this whole fucking thing.
Yes.
So she wakes up on New Year's Day, and, like, things are strange. The power's out. There seems to be some hubbub outside. She's, like, hungover, a little out of it. You know, it's New Year's Day. Maybe she got into some stuff the night before. So basically, it's like a slow unraveling of what's going on with her traversing the city to go to a safe place, which is the guy she likes apartment that
The
she
guy she
had.
likes, played by Corey Monteith from Glee, which is weird to see.
It is strange. And so it that intercut with scenes from the night before, which I actually really liked that format.
Oh,
I
it
again,
worked, yeah.
I don't love sometimes I feel like things are flashback heavy, but I do feel like this was an efficient way to tell the story, and it also hides the twist.
Yes, and doesn't cheat the twist because it makes
Yes.
perfect sense by the time you're done of, right, I saw what I should have seen. You didn't, like, if I had seen it in chronological order, then I would have known what was going on.
Exactly. So it gives you that very much like real time thing, but also gives you relevant information as you need it. And I the construction my any issues I have with this episode are directorial and not story.
It's the visual choices are so 2008.
It's not surprising because it's Darren Lynn
And
Bousman.
Darren Lynn
I'm
Bousman.
not.
So yeah, Darren Lynn Bousman, who he's one of those directors I root for. Like, I root for all the kind of class of James Wan,
Sure.
because I think he is a smart guy. I've listened to interviews with him. There's a the featurette on the DVD with him just shows, like, he is, like, really well spoken. He knows horror. He loves horror. Like, I mean, he really has only made horror, and I actually really love that he seems to only want to do that. But this is coming off of Saw 1, Saw 3. I'm sorry, Saw 2, Saw 3, Saw 4, and then Fear Itself. And then after this, he makes Repo, which is all visually in the same. It's that same, like, dark colors, but neon lighting and shaky cam. And I hated the shaky cam,
I
and then I kind of
hate shaky
excused it at the
cam.
end because it kind of is there to suggest which the you know, when you find out the twist, you're like, okay, the shaky cam kind of,
Yep.
it was done for a reason. And that reason is.
Well, yeah, so the whole thing is that Brianna Evigan is navigating through this hellscape and doesn't realize that she's a zombie. So, which, honestly, everything should be this. Why
I
isn't
love that.
everything this?
Yep.
This is probably the perfect format for it because it's so
Yes.
short.
Yeah.
Because if you pushed it, you would have either seen it or there would have been holes in
You would
it
have
or
either had to trick your audience
yeah.
or they would have called it. It's one of the two. And in 45 minutes, you don't do either because you don't think
Yep.
you're getting that twist.
You don't have time. Like
Yeah.
it's so
You
it's
think you get a Night of the Living Dead ending where she gets to Corey Monteith and her friend who is sleeping with him, and he shoots her thinking she's a zombie, and you're like, oh man, she went through all this. And at first I'm bummed. I'm like, really? Like, it's gonna end with her just getting shot? Like, I'm so tired of the accidentally killed the person trying to help me trope. And then you're like, oh no! Like, it's a
Yeah.
really, really good twist.
And because it's her point of view, like there is this sense like what is being a zombie? There's an I
Yeah.
Am Legend feeling to it. Like
Totally.
So who's the real monster here then? Like obviously the zombies are still biting people, although she doesn't partake until the end. So like is she different? Is she like it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Like what is who what are these entities? What are these creatures? What's their drive? Like or is she so pushed by love that she doesn't like
Well, I took
they
it as because I think she does eat that old man, doesn't she?
No, I don't think so.
'Cause
She.
there's a flash at one point she encounters this old couple where the woman is dying and has been
Yeah.
bitten, so the husband has to kill her and she's just watching, and then the husband like goes off on her. It's like, you're the reason for this and you don't know what's going on. But I thought when they like flashed back to that at the end that like it she did eat him.
Oh, I didn't.
But it's okay if she did. I
Huh.
think it, you go back to the line in Dawn of the Dead, right, when they're at the shopping mall and they're watching the zombies come to the mall and they say, why are they coming here? And it's instinct. This was an important place in their lives. This must be where they gravitate towards. And there have been a few other horror projects that have like done the in from the point of view of a zombie or a person turning, like what was the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie Maggie.
Maggie, yeah.
But like this is and I think like there's a lot of short zombie fiction out there. There's a lot of compilations of short zombie stories, and I feel like I've read one or two where it is this same idea of what is it for the person turning into the zombie, but I've never seen it captured like this on in a short entertainment format of and in this case I took it as no, she does have to eat people. If she sees a person, she's going to eat them, but she is driven towards a place, and that place is going to be her boyfriend's. That's the last thing that she died in part because she we find out she took pills, and whether it was intentional or not, she kills herself because of him and is trying to kind of get back to him. That's just a driving force, and we're seeing her as I need to get to him, and it's very logical that this is where she's going, and just knowing that everybody else is seeing it as her just lurching and shaky walking towards this man that she wants to eat. I dug it.
Yeah, there are some. So I have two kind of tangential thoughts. One, big Cloverfield energy.
Yeah.
If you take it at face value,
Sure.
obviously you can't. But then, two, there are some implications that aren't great if you really sit with the actual plot of this for a
Involving
very
the
long
best
time.
friend.
Yeah. So
Yep.
basically, so the thing is, if and I could get some of the nuances wrong here, but I have seen it 4 times, so I'm gonna trust my
I
take.
do trust you.
So she has a male roommate who is very cute but trying very hard. Way too much going on. Spiky hair, glasses, tie. Calm down, sir. Anywho, she has a roommate who's clearly in love with her, who she cannot give the time of day to because she is in love with
Cory Bunny with Glee.
Corey,
Just call him Glee.
the Corey character, the man. But they're not dating. She's just in love with him, which is wild and makes her seem desperate and strange.
She
But
refers to him as her boyfriend at one point. Is that.
yeah, but I
That's.
don't think that's
You're right.
serious in any capacity.
Okay.
Like they're not talking to each other. They don't like I think this is a so from desperate girl point of view, which I do have experience in, I think that she's convinced herself that they're a good match and that they love each other. And that she loves him, and it's obvious that he would like her, but they don't have any. Like, there's a point where he's like, she's like, I don't dance, and he's dancing. Like, obviously, they're not compatible.
And there's a really interesting exchange where, like, she says to him, like, you understand me, and he says to her, like, the douchiest comment ever, you're not that complicated.
Yeah, they're not a good match, which
No.
I do like that. So in a way you could view this as and I you know what I think at the end of the day I choose to view it as this woman being infatuated with somebody for because of who she thinks he is, not who he actually is, and then finding out her or realizing that her best friend, her real friend who was actually there for her, is they're very compatible and they are the same. Literally, at the end, they are zombies. They are the same type of person now. But there is, because this is written by a cadre of men, there is this insidious way that you could view it as, well, she had that dick in a case and she was just waiting for that dude to cheat on her so that she could, you know, be with this guy, and
yeah.
this guy was just waiting around, friend zone, all that stupid shit.
There was a moment that I really liked, which is when friend zone confronts her and says, like, don't you see I love you, I think you're amazing, and she's like, dude, no. And he kisses her and she's like, no, stop it, and she walks away.
Yeah.
And I was so happy because I'm like, yes, don't, like, no, she doesn't, like, because then later, because we already know that he's been bitten and died and turned into a zombie, and so I'm, like, riding with it, because I'm like, yes, because I hate that trope of, I was there the whole time, oh, you're right,
yeah,
okay, I
yeah.
guess I'm supposed to be with you, because you liked me, so I guess I'm supposed to like you, and I really was so excited that this had given her, and this guy who is presented very earnestly, but she's just like, no, I don't like you that way. And that's it. And then it ends with, but they're together as zombies. And I was like, ugh, didn't need that. Did not need him coming back. Like, didn't need her choosing him as a zombie. Like, how great would it have been if he reached for her hand and she was like, fuck no, I'm on my own.
Yeah, but so I think I'm very torn up about it. I think that there is maybe a way, and who knows, maybe the source material was worse with it, maybe it was
yeah.
better. But I think that you could have thrown in one or two lines or another thing to make me know which way I'm supposed to feel about it.
Yep.
Because there is a part of me that, of course, two zombies holding hands at the end, I love. It's great.
Sure.
It's great. It's great. And he was nice to her, and he did understand her, and they were a lot alike, and she did like an asshole. So all of these things are true, but the trope of friend zone,
yeah.
you know, Pretty in Pink, I was there the whole time.
Well, and
that is,
oh man, the thing about friend zone in horror, because it comes up a lot,
yep.
and the problem is, you know that the people writing it are dudes who were constantly quote unquote friend zoned.
Yeah.
Because typically, you know, not to make broad generalizations, but in my experience, a lot of people who turned into, you know, successful horror writers and directors weren't that popular in high school. Like, but yet never liked the girls like me who were there, like, also with the same interests. They always still wanted the prom
yeah.
queen. And so they, like, it's that whole fantasy element of, oh, well, I'll finally write that property where prom queen understands that horror nerd was there for her the whole time. And it's just, especially in 2020 when we've been talking about this a lot in a post kind of Gamergate world, it's one of those things about this that doesn't age that well.
Yeah, and like, but like, so there are instances where, because I have done it, not where you like a guy that you shouldn't, like, you actually don't have anything in common with. And men do it with women all the time.
Mm.
You're blinded by some weird attraction or something
sure.
they said once, and
yeah.
especially now, like when people communicate online, you can ignore the things that don't fit with your fantasy, and you can really focus in on like the one thing they said that means they're perfect for you, and that does happen. So do I think we should ban all stories about that? No, but like there is still a part of me that is wary of like
mm-hmm.
is this a toxic type of story where
right.
she, you know, but then also, I don't know, like they lived together, they got along, maybe they were great for each other and she was just hung up on this guy
yeah.
because she was like self-sabotaging because she was sad, which I have done. That's not a character
sure.
judgment. I've done that.
Well, because there's also, I mean, I guess it's, this was something I thought was going to pay off and didn't, but so what's the deal? She had her brother died as a kid?
I believe he died as a kid, but yeah, her brother is dead, and it is definitely impacting her.
Yeah.
Her.
So
like,
there was a moment that I really thought this was going to go a different place. I'm curious if you did too, the first time you watched it. Because in the beginning, they establish, like, she's really sad because either it's his birthday or it's something where this is the time of year when she remembers
mm-hmm,
her
mm-hmm.
brother who she loved, who died very sadly. And then when she sees the old couple and the guy's like, you did this, it's your fault. And I started to think, I'm like, is this a... Because and there's one other thing to her character, which is clearly, like, she's a bit spooky. She's a horror fan. She has, like, you know, gory posters in her room. She's got a pet tarantula. Like, all, like, you know, she dresses kind of like, you know, she wears like Doc Martens and a skirt, like, you know, she's kind of like, ooh, she's a little goth, all this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really waiting for it to be a Monkey's Paw situation where it was, oh, she brought zombies back because she wished her brother back to life.
I never thought that, but that is kind of, that would have been fun.
Yeah, but it in the end, I think it's like a nuclear explosion or something that causes zombies. But it's, again, here, neither here there nor there. It doesn't really mean much. But it's interesting that, like, they put this fact about her that seems very specific, but then it doesn't really have a payoff. And I was very curious where that came from and why it was there. But
mm-hmm. Well, I had one question. So, is this a Walking Dead style zombie? Like, if you die, you come back as a zombie even if you weren't bit?
Oh, yes, totally, because she does.
Okay.
Well, they say it's the blast. There is a blast at, I think it's a nuclear power plant or something, where they are. And I kind of like that it wasn't directly addressed, it was just there in the background, that there's protests going on, there is a nuclear something. Either it was bombed by protesters or there's an explosion there. And the, like, within the radius, it sounded like people that were exposed to it, or dead, I guess dead that were exposed to it, would zombie. So she zombies overnight after she takes too many pills. And I guess being exposed to that radiation is what turns her into a zombie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what it seemed like, but then she was just laying in this apartment and there was a little zombie boy, and that, and then her roommate was a zombie, so I was like, did somebody just like come and nibble on her? Like, I mean
I wouldn't put it past the friend zone guy to pull a creep shit like, 2 on her.
Yeah, so it was just that there was stuff about their relationship that made me go like, eh.
Yeah, fair. I wouldn't disagree.
But, like, overall, you know, if you really just go in and take it for face value, if you really are able to do that, it's a story about a girl who likes this guy who actually cheats on her, and when she wakes up, she's a zombie, doesn't realize it, and then goes and kills him with her roommate, who she now loves. It's cute.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good lesson here, which is a lesson that I have spent my entire life trying to teach my female friends, which is, girls, stop liking assholes. Because
mm-hmm.
He is an asshole. Like, Corey Monteith in this is a dirtbag. And so, yeah.
He's really terrible, and I think that that's what makes it, like, because the friend isn't also, like, a piece of shit. Like, he does seem nice. I go, like, should I just take this at face value, and he's just a nice guy, and now they're both zombies, so it seems obvious that they should, like, team up.
Yeah. I don't know, it's not perfect. It is a little problematic in different ways. But it's, I really, like, this is what I want out of Fear itself. This is what I wanted out of Masters of Horror. I want to take a short format and do something with it, because it is a short format. Do something in this that you wouldn't do in a movie. And I think this is a very good example of that. This, like, Eater, I don't want 90 minutes of this. This was exactly what I needed of this story.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Good times.
I like it a lot, because I like the trick, I like the gimmick.
Yeah.
If you don't care for that shit, or it doesn't work on you, then I get it. There's probably nothing here.
Right. And if you're, you know, there are a lot of people that hated this era of horror filmmaking, because it was, you know, born out of the Saw generation. And the look of it, I understand not loving the look. It's a very specific, dated style, visual style. And again, I don't love the shaky effect. I think it's justified in the end. If I watched it again, I think I would excuse it, because I'd be like, oh no, what is it? What is he doing with the effect? The effect is actually mm-hmm. not there to be a zombie. The effect is there to suggest, is actually her, what she's seeing, or whatever it might be. But it's one that I would encourage, if anybody watches it and thinks that they want to give up halfway through, don't. Stick it out, because it's so rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully, if you've heard me say that now, you already watched the episode, because otherwise that's, it might
yeah,
not be as exciting.
But that being said, if you do know, if you're like, oh, I listened to this all the way through and now for some reason want to watch it, I'm telling you, it really does it plays real cool when you know.
Yeah,
Because
totally.
you're like, oh, that's why, and oh, this person says that, but you could interpret it this
Yeah.
way. But it really, like, I, it's good. It's
It's
good that
clever.
it has a rewatchability to
Yeah,
it.
I appreciate that. All right. What is the next? What's the next round of Fear Itself?
Oh gosh, I'm having trouble
I
with
can tell you
IMDb.
in
Let's
2 seconds.
see.
Okay, so after New Year's Day, we get Community, which I think is the Mary Harron segment.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Okay, it's the Brendan Routh one.
I haven't seen that one. I'm so
Okay.
excited.
Woo.
Brandon Routh is, I just love him. I love him. He's one of my favorite people. So I'm very excited about this.
All right. After that is Skin and Bones, the Larry Fessenden one.
Yes, which
Uh-oh.
I have not seen
So
either.
this one has a good cast. Doug Jones is in it, which is good. But it's written by Drew McQueenie and Rebecca Swan, who we were not fans of from Pro Life. So we'll see. We'll see. Who knows?
Well,
People
who
can surprise us.
knows?
You know, keep our chins up. What's the worst that can happen? We get turned into zombies and wake up and then go and live our lives as zombies. And what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it'll be good. I'm looking
I
at
wonder
it.
for you what it would be like, because I mean, I eat meat. Like I'm pretty like I'll eat anything. You do not eat anything, and you certainly don't eat meat, and probably have not now for a very long time. I wonder how it would affect you to eat people as a zombie.
Well, there's in the Day of the Dead remake, the one with Mina Savari, there is like a vegan or vegetarian zombie. It's like a
Okay.
part of that,
All right.
the
So
plot.
maybe you
I
will
think that,
become a what's the word? Pioneer in that front.
yeah, that's like the Bub character in the remake. Like
Okay.
he doesn't eat meat, so like you know how he's like smart in the and this one he doesn't eat meat, so
So
like
you're
I think
implying that you have to that smart people don't eat meat. Is that what you're saying?
no, I
Huh?
think I was saying that that was the gimmick, that in the original he was just
Right.
like more evolved or evolving, and in this one like he doesn't
He's
partake.
evolved to veganism, is what you're
But
saying.
like I would like to think that my differences would get me chained up somewhere and studied.
Okay.
So, I mean, good for me.
Good for you, yeah. No, I'm gonna be, oh my God, as a zombie, I would be so hungry. Like, I would just want to eat everybody.
I mean,
Yeah.
know thyself, right?
Like, and I would think I would be like, I wouldn't be picky about it, but I would aim high. Like, I would want to, like, oh, I'm gonna go find Bobby Flay and eat him. Like, the way she's trying to find her boyfriend, this guy she loves, I would try to find, like Gordon Ramsay or like the Pioneer Woman, like I'd go find them so that I would ideally eat somebody who eats really well.
Wow, that you'd have to be a very like aware zombie.
I don't think so. I think my food motivation would be strong enough to like lead my nose to wherever I needed to get to.
It would compel you
I'm
from
very food
beyond the
motivated,
grave.
like much like the way like when you're training like dogs, sometimes there's like food motivated dogs. There's like dogs who are attention motivated versus affection motivated versus food motivated. I am definitely in the food category. So I think I do well as a zombie. Wow. Just putting that out there.
I just go take a nap.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe one day we'll find out if our predictions about ourselves turning into zombies are true.
Who
Until
knows?
then, we wish everybody stay safe and stay healthy and all of those things.
Bye-bye.
My baby won't sleep in the cold, cold ground. She's a zombie now. Oh, and the moon comes up and the sun goes down. She's a zombie now. She won't lie.